Miracles Around the Lake, Commentary for the August 3, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Mark 5:41. We're in wildfire season here in the Pacific Northwest. In eastern Washington, where I live, the climate is especially arid. The low humidity and dried-out landscape are the perfect conditions for fires to easily kindle and grow if given the opportunity. There are years when we have abundant storms and lightning kindles conflagrations that are roaring through forest and shrubland, growing to 10 or even hundreds of thousands of acres, destroying homes and wiping out generations of family mementos in the process. Last year, a wildfire wiped out sizable portions of the nearby community of Medical Lake. They are still in the process of rebuilding the homes from the ashes. We recently attended a housewarming for friends who were finally able to move back into a new home that replaced the one they lost in that fire. It was a reminder of the sadness of loss and the hope of a better future. This year, we have had little lightning from storms, but there are just as many fires, which indicates that the fires are from arson rather than naturally sparked. Yesterday, they announced on the news that two children, one 13 and the other age 11, had been arrested and charged with igniting one of the worst fires of the season. However, the most terrifying fire for the local Seventh-day Adventist community was one that threatened Palisades Christian Academy. From the moment when ponderosa pines began lighting up like Roman candles along the ridgeline above the school, a call for prayers went out and we all began praying for the protection of the school. Despite the active presence of firefighters and planes dropping water and retardant, the outcome seemed certain as the fire moved rapidly down the hillside. Someone reported the fire was within 100 feet of the school. Then the report came that it was within 30 feet. That is 6 feet less than the distance from my garage door to the city street. Then word came that the fire had been stopped and the school was safe. Those who believed in the power of prayer rejoiced at this answer to prayer. But some, even Adventists, questioned if a miracle from God saved Palisades Christian Academy, where was he for the people of Medical Lake? Jonathan Haidt, in his book, The Righteous Mind, questioned whether the idea of miracles is more a matter of mindset than divine intervention. In short, if we have a righteous mindset, we will interpret events as being miraculous. But those who do not have that mindset would see only the human intervention that stayed the course of the wildfire. With the difference in outcomes between the fire approaching the school and last year's Medical Lake fire simply being a matter of available resources to dedicate to the effort. We see this issue raised repeatedly in the Gospels. In one instance, Jesus asked, "Do you have the faith, the mindset, that this miracle can happen?" Matthew 9:28. A mindset that believes in the possibility of miracles and the existence and the ability of the one who is the source of miracles must be a precursor to miracles. When Jesus returned to his hometown, the people could not see anything special about him. They only saw a local carpenter who had grown up among them. Because there was no faith, no right mindset, he could do little for his former neighbors. Mark 6:3-6. Prayer is an essential contributor to the development of that mindset. Jesus modeled this in his own life. He also encouraged his disciples to pray, delineating proper and improper prayer during his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:5-15. If we would be like Jesus, prayer is an essential part of that model. If we believe, prayer can bring miracles. And the biggest miracle that prayer produces is a change it brings to our own hearts and our relationship with others. In chapters 4 and 5 of Mark, we have several miracles. The miracle of Jesus calming the storm illustrated that lack of faith does not negate God's divine will. At this time, Jesus' disciples had not developed a love for him that would lead them to willingly lay down their lives for him one day. When the storm arose, fear filled their hearts. And fearful hearts are not loving hearts, 1 John 4:18. But this was early in Jesus' ministry, and they had much to learn. Another miracle was the healing of the wild man living among the tombs in the land of the Gadarenes. Possessed with myriad demons, the man still had enough faith to come and kneel before Jesus. The demons within the man recognized Jesus' power and his authority over them. The implied question in this encounter is, even the demons believe, so why don't you? There comes a point where one must answer that question. Either the Bible is right and prayer and miracles are a part of the experience of the believer, or if rejecting that idea, then we must challenge the veracity of the Bible to resolve the cognitive dissonance that arises when we claim a belief in God but deny the possibility of divine intervention in our daily lives. It is not hard to find reasons. The Bible has contradictions, as one might expect from many authors writing over almost two millennia about the religious understanding developed across not only that vast time, but across cultures. It is a story of faith handed down to us through the generations. Jesus made the astounding claim to be truth itself in John 14:6. It is a statement that demands a response. If we choose, we can deny the truth of someone claiming to be truth. Despite the statement being unambiguous, we can assert that the truth as embodied in Jesus is only one of many truths. We can decide that the Bible writers were men with agendas for power and control, and such a statement, if fabricated, thus denying the very claim, would serve those agendas. Because we know the evil and falseness that wants to grow in our own hearts, it is not hard to convince ourselves that this is the case. Or we can accept his assertion at face value. This latter perspective is the path to faith in miracles. For even in the absence of such miracles, it persists. Jesus announced that those who persist in this way, despite the lack of any evidence, would be more blessed than those who cannot believe without proof in John 20:29. The amazing thing about miracles is that they can play out over lifetimes and even generations before revealing the power of God. In the cases of the bleeding woman and Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, both miracles began to develop 12 years prior, when the woman developed an incurable disease causing her to hemorrhage. At that time, a child was born, and both headed toward a nexus 12 years later, when the child died before becoming a woman and facing her own monthly period of uncleanliness. And the woman who could not return to purity and cleanliness because of an unremitting flow of blood. The woman, because it was against the cultural understanding of clean and unclean, and her presence could make everyone else unclean, decided to approach Jesus with stealth, lest others drive her away because of her impurity. Notably, when Jesus felt her touch and turned to speak to her, she knelt before him and he pronounced her healed, without revealing the nature of her illness, sensing the ire that such a revelation could stir up in those in the crowds she may have touched. But the 12-year circle was not complete, although it was taught that being in the presence of someone who had died would also bring uncleanliness. He tactfully told those present at Jairus' house that his daughter was only sleeping, thus removing the onus that any idea of uncleanliness could taint what he was about to do and bring shame on the family. He then raised the girl to life, saying, "Little lamb, wake up." He thus demonstrated his love for the family of Jairus and his daughter. Jesus' miracles often focused on those who were unclean, the woman who was bleeding, and the lepers where the uncleanliness could be proven from the Pentateuch. But in every case, even when he told them to go and sin no more, he never pointed out the nature of their sin, leaving that between the individual and God. With a loving Savior who has such kindness and tact, miracles can be happening all around us, and even as believers, we may never know about it. Others may picture God as a thundering force railing at sinners and condemning them to damnation and destruction, but he is speaking into each of our lives with love and a still small voice, not coercing, but drawing us to him with love. We can come to him knowing his purpose is not to betray or shame us, but to lovingly heal us and bring peace to our troubled lives. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, articles, and links to books by the author at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.